Reading this morning will be found on page 1023 of the Pew Bibles, and it's Jesus speaking to his disciples and we read from St. John's Gospel, chapter 16. We're going to start halfway through verse 4, just to be a bit different. I did not tell you this from the beginning, because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you.
Good morning. How are you doing? You all right? You're bearing up? You ready for this? Good. Do you know, sometimes I wonder, not exclusively this morning, but sometimes I wonder what on earth I'm doing here. I don't mean particularly in Hartford, exactly, although I often wonder that. I don't even mean in England. I certainly wonder that quite a lot of the time. But what are we doing here on a Sunday morning, looking at the bald patch of the person in front of you, while the paid monkeys or the unpaid monkeys say the stuff that we think we have to hear in order that we do this thing called church? Every now and again, when this happens, I think to myself, what on earth am I doing with my life? What on earth am I doing? And that's just me. How about you? When you look into the pages of the New Testament, I see something really different, do you? When you look into the pages of the New Testament and you see the people of God gifted with the Holy Spirit, I see something different. I see something that's moving, that's dynamic, that's passionate, that's filled to the full measure of the Spirit of God, moving us to become like Christ. And sometimes I come to the church and I pray, God, help us. God, help us to grasp on to what it is you have for us. Just me? Is it just me? I don't know if you've heard of a man called John Wimber. John Wimber started a thing. Started in the house church movement. The Vineyard eventually became Vineyard. And one of the things that he said was this: everyone gets to play. Everyone gets to play. When it comes to the people of God, everyone gets to play. Everyone gets involved because everyone is filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Vineyard movement was a great blessing for me at a particular time in my life when we spent a couple of years in Aberdeen working in some quite challenging situations. We had an afternoon thing where we gathered people together at our own church, but in the morning, I'd often take myself to the Vineyard. An opportunity to worship, to hear God's word being opened, and then to have the opportunity for someone to pray for me. And I could never go to that church on a Sunday morning without having left with someone saying, Andrew, come on, let's pray for you today. It was great. But that idea that everyone gets to play, and there was a movement that was filled with a passion for teaching and prayer ministry and worship and an amazing heart for church planting, not only here in the UK, but across the world. Everyone gets to play. We are a community of God's people who are gifted with His Spirit. No one is exempted. Everyone gets to play. We are all, as Paul was saying last week, we are all missionaries. We are all invited into God's kingdom. We are all invited to engage in His work. We are all vital parts of God's kingdom. We are all part of His body. We are all receiving the same Holy Spirit. We're in this season of looking at our purpose statement. Do you know it by now? Come on, someone say it for me, please. Thank you. A growing relationship with Christ. You're almost there, Paula. Well done for being the one person in the congregation willing to put their hand up and say, yes, I know it. Yes, I'm enthused by it. And yes, I will live it. And we've got a PowerPoint. It doesn't really matter. Yes, there we are. Leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And today we're looking at value 6. Because we say, as a congregation, that being a unified people that allows each individual to discover, develop and use their spiritual and practical gifts to build up the body of Christ. We are, in effect, saying everyone gets to play. But the question is everyone playing? Is everyone allowed? Is everyone stepping forward? Is everyone having the opportunity? Is the gift that is in everyone placed there by the Holy Spirit being offered and used and expanded and being used to extend God's kingdom here in this place? Today we're not going to get into the nitty-gritty of spiritual gifts, but we are going to focus on the giver and the source that Jesus gives to His people, the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is from Him that all the gifts come from. It is from Him that we have our inspiration, that we have our enabling, that we are moved to be able to respond in God's kingdom. Paul encourages us when he writes to the church in Ephesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, in effect, go on being filled. Go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Our life should be one of overflow. Everything that we do, everything that we say, everything we are, comes as an overflow of God's Holy Spirit. And is it true? Is it true? Is it our experience? Is it our experience daily that we know His infilling power, that we sense His holiness and His presence and His heart move in us to follow Jesus, to glorify God? Is that our daily reality? Are we aware of Him individually? Are we aware of Him when we come together like this on a Sunday morning or whenever we do it? Or are we at that stage, like little children get to sometimes, where we think we can do something independently, but actually we can't? Have you ever seen that in your child when they're getting to that stage where, I can do this. It might take me all day, but I am going to tie this shoelace, and I'm going to make you late for absolutely everything for the rest of the day. But I am going to do this because I have it in my... Are we at that stage in our walk with God? Oh, God, we can do this. You hang on over there while we do our thing here in our own strength and our own wisdom. You just hang on, Holy Spirit. We'll get back to you. We know you're faithful and unchanging. You promised to be with us. You hang on while we do our stuff and we'll get back to you. Okay? I mean, is it just me? Is that your experience? Is it my experience? I spend so much time doing things in my own strength. It's exhausting. It's absolutely exhausting. But then when you move into the New Testament and the Gospels in particular, and you look at the ministry of Jesus, we see there a man who was 100% reliant on the Holy Spirit. We don't often get this in our minds. A man who was 100% reliant on the Holy Spirit. He laid aside the attributes of being God. He laid aside the glory and the power and the all-knowing, and he became a man, and he became reliant upon the Holy Spirit. How do we know that? Because we read many times in the Gospels. Jesus had a prayer life. Now, why would God have to pray to God? Because Jesus had laid aside those things, and he came to his Father because he knew he had to nurture that relationship. He knew he had to hear from God, receive from God, not only what he would do, but the power in which he had to do it. We see from Jesus' prayer life that he was constantly nipping off for a quick prayer. Or he was constantly nipping off when everyone else was still asleep and pouring his heart out before the Father. He was reliant on this relationship. He went off early in the morning. If you look at busy times of ministry, Jesus, exhausted from a day's healing or teaching, would go off into the night and he would get before the Father. If you look at major times in his life, before he was taken off into the desert to be tempted, before he came back from the desert and he was about to read from Isaiah's scroll in the synagogue, we read that he went off and he prayed and he got to know the intimate desires of the Father, where he found out what the Spirit would have him do. And then he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor," etc., etc., etc. We see in Jesus an example of what it means to be human. An example of what it means to be human in relation to God. Pursuing God, because apart from him, we can do nothing, we can be nothing, we can say nothing. We see that in his prayer ministry, as he went about healing, Jesus knew the spiritual dynamic that was happening. Do you remember that time he was going from one place to another, and he was passing through the crowds, and the women who had been bleeding for years stretched out her hand and touched the edge of his cloak? Do you remember that story? And in that whole crowd, how on earth would he be able to know that somebody had touched the hem of his cloak? He says he knew because he felt power go from him. He felt the Spirit move in his heart. He knew that something that had happened, that had been associated with him, had impacted that woman. He knew the dynamics of the Spirit in his life. He knew even because someone had touched the hem of his garment and that power had gone, he was in tune to what the Holy Spirit was doing in his life, in his ministry. John's Gospel is full of teaching and praying and promising and delivering upon the topic of the Holy Spirit. He had a firm idea that this was something that he needed to have, that his disciples needed to have, and that would come to them when he was ready to go back to glory. If Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, as we've just sung, if he needed to receive in himself God's Holy Spirit and to minister in his power, who are we to think that we can do without it? Who are we to think that we can speak or move or think or do anything for the kingdom of God without having that indwelling power of the Holy Spirit? So Jesus says, "I will send him." He's saying in this passage, "I will send him. Look, I know that you want to keep me for yourself, but I have to go for lots of different reasons. But here's why I have to go. Because if I don't go, then this Holy Spirit won't come to you, and it won't come to every disciple who follows in your great lineage." Jesus says, "I have to go so that the Spirit will come. And when he comes, he will be an advocate and a helper. We'd be blind guides without his active presence. He's an advocate for us. He communicates the heart of the Father to us. He speaks to us. He guides us. He leads us. He dwells within us. He comes as a convictor and an illuminator. John says, look, the world is going to know what sin and judgment is. We're going to know the state of our own hearts. Because whilst we might think we're squeaky clean and good as good, compared to the holiness of Jesus Christ and the holiness of the Father, we are but filthy rags. And the Holy Spirit will come and He will minister and He will move. And we will realize our need for a Savior. He will illuminate our minds to the voice of God. He will come as a convictor and an illuminator. He comes as a communicator, John says, communicating truth, embedding truth in our very lives, so that when we encounter all sorts of messages that we find in the world, we'll be able to discern by God's Spirit what is true, what is according to His Word, what is according to His heart. He will come and communicate truth to us. That was important for the disciples who are ready to take on this world-changing mission. They would need to know the truth of the message that they were being given. And the Holy Spirit was coming to do that. Elsewhere, Paul talks about all the variety of gifts of the Holy Spirit. I mean, Ephesians 4 is just one of those. There are many passages in Romans, some in 1 Corinthians as well. When the Holy Spirit comes, as He brings us into the kingdom, with His Holy Spirit comes everything we need for ministry and work in His world. Paul says that everything is given by the Spirit for the church to mature and to grow into the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You know, one of the things about having kids is you have to feed them. Did you know that? I mean, that was like, you know, when I was about to have, you know, I didn't personally have the children. But when we were about to receive, I was about to receive my children, I thought, oh, brilliant, I'll become a father. And then you take them home. Do you remember that time if you've had children or you take them home for the first time and you discover, oh, I have to feed it and I have to do this business. I mean, hours, the first child, hours at night I spent doing this. You know, sort of. And then you have to do the stuff with the bottom end, and you have to do stuff with the you have to sort of make it possible for them to grow. And Jesus knew that. I mean, of course He knew. The Father knew this. Of course He knew it. And so He sends the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is the one. He takes on the role of the surrogate father, and he gives us everything that is needed to help us to grow up into Christ, to become mature, and to appear before Him as a picture of Christ. The body of Christ isn't just a nice idea. It's a vision. It's a vision of who we are becoming. That's why we talk about growing into a full relationship with Jesus Christ. Spiritual maturity received by God's Holy Spirit by grace. Growing us up into Christ. Growing up to be like our big brother, who shows us what the Father is like. And we take on that idea. Isn't it glorious? Doesn't it just amaze you? This is not about the holy people over there. This is about the regular, everyday holy people that God is calling to be saints. It's me and it's you and God binding us together by the Spirit and making us into this thing, this body, that we might be His vessel in the world. And we're so casual. We're so careless. We're so non-attentive to the voice of His Spirit, to the nudgings in our lives. It's like we have this button in our heads, like a television switch, and we switch it. And it makes it possible for us, who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, to just turn that flick, and then I can get on with my sin that I enjoy. Or then I can get on with, you know, whatever it is that you want to do that takes you away from the presence of God. It lets us to swim around in our apathy. It allows us to swim around in our general ignorance of what's happening in the world. And who am I talking about? I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about myself who finds it so easy to switch off the God switch in order that I can enjoy my life and do my thing in my way. And then I recognize that God has so much more in mind for me. He has so much more that he wants to do in me. He has so much more that he wants to do in this heart. There are so many things that he still wants to carve out that I might be for him and for him alone. And the question is, will I? Will I? Will I receive him? This promised Holy Spirit. Oh yes, I'm quite happy. I remember, 22 years ago, the 17th of October at 6:55 in the evening, where I knew for the first time that God was real and that he came and he did some amazing stuff. That was 22 years ago. I don't know about you, but I leak. I can receive thousands of spiritual blessings on a Sunday morning, but the time I've gone through there and had coffee, especially if you've started to talk to me about something like, I don't know, some form that has to be filled in, or, I said, let me just enjoy God for a minute. Let me just enjoy the sense of being in his presence and knowing his blessing before. Forms are important. Do fill in your forms. But before we discover the gifts of God's Holy Spirit, we must receive the source. Before we think we can get involved in the technicalities of words of knowledge or all that sort of business, which is great, by the way, we must know the source. We must be in intimate terms with God's Holy Spirit as he lives in us. Do you know him? Do you know his presence? Do you know him? What's the sign hanging over your heart today? Filled to all the measure of the fullness of God. No room at the inn. Glory departed. How am I doing? Can I go on carrying out the work of Almighty God without a constant daily sense of his indwelling presence? I do it anyway. Have you noticed? In John 20 it says, he breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. He is the advocate and the helper and the counselor. He is the convictor and the illuminator. He is the giver of gifts. He is every good thing. He is the very holiness of God who will get inside you and change you from the inside out. So that when you move from this place, you won't just be Bob or Jane or whoever you are. You'll be a carrier of the presence of the living missionary Spirit of God. The church is made up of those who have the Spirit living within, who have been brought into relationship with Jesus Christ through the conviction of that same Spirit, and who live to say, God, I will glorify you and glorify you alone. We're going to spend some time in prayer this morning. And I want to encourage you, wherever you are in your experience with the indwelling presence of the living God, that you call out to him. That you call out to him and say, Father, would you send your promised Spirit? Would you continue in me the work that needs to be continued? Would you fill us as a body that we might be your people? Would you, Holy Spirit, deign to be present in my life? Unworthy as I am, but you promised you would come. Will you say, come, Holy Spirit? I'd like to invite you to stand as we sing, as we pray, that God would fill us afresh today in this time.